cover for someone. Oh, it's got this shadow theater to begin with.
From
the roof. Yeah. I was like, so get it.
Hello, Breaker Cleaners.
Hi, is Young there?
No, she's not here today. Can I tell you, ma'am, call you back?
Yeah. Is there anyone else there that, like, handles financing? Maybe, like, an office manager or someone like that around?
No, she's the only one. She's in and out.
Okay. Do you also have, like, an email address for her that I could follow up with?
Yeah, it's Gerald Stone.
Can you spell that for me?
G-E-R-A-L-D.
G-E-R-A-L-D. Stone?
Stone.
Uh-huh. 2002 at yahoo.com. So Gerald Stone, 2002 at yahoo.com. Perfect.
Uh-huh.
And then, yeah, if you could take down my name and number, that would be awesome.
Okay.
My name is Olivia.
Okay.
And I'm with Cardiff. That's C-A-R, D as in dog, I-F-F as in Frank.
Okay.
And my telephone number is 858.
Okay.
779-0942. And I'm just following up on some financing.
Okay, no problem. I'll let her know, okay?
Okay, are you guys pretty busy over there?
Not like we normally are. Summer is kind of slow.
Oh, is it normally slow in the summer or just
this
summer?
Yeah, it's peaks and valleys in the summer.
Oh, really? Why
and
is that?
Winter, fall, and spring, it gets really, really busy.
Oh, really? So maybe, like, do you by any chance know if before the busy season you guys bring on, like, new equipment or capital?
We're in the market for new equipment. And I know she's spoken to some folks about that.
Oh, really?
But I'm not sure what she's got in mind.
Okay. Well, we definitely have, like, really great equipment financing programs. Do you know what you guys are going to bring in?
Probably a dry cleaning machine.
A new dry cleaner?
Yeah, and the good ones run about $80,000.
Uh-huh.
For a good one.
I know her.
She's not going to buy second best.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, especially with, like, the competition out there, right?
Right, exactly.
So do you guys usually get them, like, new, right? Can you ever get them used?
We can buy them used, but my advice to her is never do that, because if they're selling it, why are they selling it?
Oh, that's a good point.
And how much mileage does it have on it before you get it? So.
Oh, really? There's like a shelf life on them?
Some are not. But the other thing too is what kind of chemical has it been using, and is it EPA certified or not EPA certified? So all those things go into question.
Oh, so what happens if it's not EPA certified?
Well, that means you have to spend some money to get it that way before you can use it.
Oh, okay. And so is that dependent on the type of chemicals that you use that is EPA certified?
Exactly. So they still have perchlorethylchlorine.
Uh-huh.
But they're slowly but surely banning that product.
Why?
Some folks still have, because it's a toxin.
Oh.
If it's used properly, it's perfectly safe, but unfortunately some people in this industry hasn't used it the way it's supposed to be used, so they pretty much banned it. You know, if you go swimming, you might die, but if you're using it the way it's supposed to be, it's perfectly safe. But
okay. And so what if you use that dry cleaning and that's on the clothes, affect
actually,
the person?
No, because what's happening, you're going to clean it with the chemical.
Mm-hmm.
And within that machine, it's going to extract all that back out and then dry it. You won't even know there's chemical on it.
Oh.
Okay. There's vacuum systems on the dry cleaning machines to absorb that. And if you can, you've watched TV before, you've seen the old moonshine stills?
Yeah.
Dry cleaning machine is a glorified moonshine still, because it replenishes the used chemical back into a still and then puts it back into a clean tank so that you can reuse. It depends on the chemical you're using,
uh-huh.
But the return can be anywhere from 30% to 90%.
Oh, wow.
And
I thought it was actually dry.
No. You gotta have something on there to make it get clean, right?
Yeah, I never really thought about that.
Well, you think, you know, they sell them in the grocery store, they call the dry L packets, and they advertise, they never go to the dry cleaners again.
Uh-huh.
All it is a pad you put in your dryer to freshen up your clothes. It's not really cleaning them. So it's one of those kind of deals. But perk was very dangerous, so they've gotten rid of it, and they've kind of pushed the other solvents. And perk was very cheap, and the other solvents they're pushing is very expensive.
What are the new solvents?
Well, hydrocarbon's been around for a while. K4 is kind of new. Rain-X is kind of new. There's a couple others out there.
Rain-X.
And, of course, a lot of people going to Green Earth.
Definitely.
But the big problem with Green Earth, that means you got to change your press equipment, because you have to have press equipment where you can stretch it and put things back in shape after you clean them. Because, in other words, you don't clean wool and water.
Oh, yeah, no.
And I don't want to, it's not that extreme, but you have to have certain types of, like if you're pressing a pair of pants on a typical pants press machine, mm-hmm. And you've used Green Earth, you can spend about 5 or 10 minutes trying to do one pair of pants.
Oh, wow. And how long does it normally take?
I'm a professional, I've been doing this 30 years, and I can do about 45 pair of pants in an hour.
Wow, that's awesome.
Okay, so if a person's pressing, if a professional presser is going to do anywhere from about 37 to about 50 pieces, depends on what the pieces are,
uh-huh.
an hour, if they're really professional.
Yeah.
But if you're doing the Green Earth,
way slower.
You have to cut that in half just about.
Wow. And so why are people moving to Green Earth then?
Environment.
Just for the environment. And I bet like the customers are demanding it too, right?
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, every chemical, if the dry cleaners is doing what they're supposed to do and the EPA comes in and passes their little test, you know, the chemical mm-hmm. you're using is perfectly fine. But you have some people who are way on the green side.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll never convince them otherwise.
Oh yeah, it's definitely like a huge thing, a huge like trend, I'd say. Not necessarily
right.
trend, but just like there's like a kind of
right.
global awareness everyone has, right?
Exactly. And some, you know, I think most of them have that awareness, but some people go overboard with it, you know. If it was left up to some folks, we'd clean with nothing but water. your wool products would be smelling kind of bad.
Yeah, and it probably wouldn't even like work that well anyways for stains or things like that.
No. Use water for odors, and you use dry cleaning basically for stains and spot removal.
Oh, really? Okay.
Laundry is better for odors, like especially anything you're wearing against your body or bedding and that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And we get stuff in that says dry clean only.
Uh-huh.
But if it was left with me, we'd wash that, especially if it's a sheet or a blanket or something that you've been laying under or over. So you want to make sure all the odors and everything are evaporated through the cleaning system.
So the dry cleaning doesn't really take out the smells?
Well, some odors they do. There's additives that we put in to prevent that.
Uh-huh.
And most of us use that. But, you know, the first time you forget and some customer gets something that smells bad, they're not going to come back to see you anymore. So
that's very true.
But it's faster and cheaper if you could actually launder it as opposed to dry clean it.
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of things that you buy just say dry clean only, so you just assume
right.
that's the only option, right?
Well, you know, you have to, there's three things on that tag that you have to be concerned with, and the number one thing is the word only.
Uh-huh.
If it doesn't say only, that doesn't necessarily mean it has to be dry clean.
Oh.
They just recommended that's the best way, but that
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean it couldn't be washed, hand washed, you know, however.
Mm-hmm.
If I see stuff coming here sometimes that says, do not dry clean, do not wash, spot clean only. Do not use steam. Do not use water.
Yeah, I have stuff like that too. What are you supposed to do?
I can tell you from my own experience. You know, I've told the customer, look, this is polyester, or this is rayon, or this or that.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be washed or it can be dry cleaned. What do you want to do? And
oh.
if you've been doing this a long time and the customers know you, they'll trust you to your judgment.
Yeah, so you basically know what materials can be
right.
handled in which way.
Exactly. I mean, most polyester items can be laundered or dry cleaned. Most rayons can also, but it's not just a fabric either. Sometimes it has a lot to do with the dyes.
Oh.
So some dyes won't bleed and wash and some will, vice versa.
And so does the specific chemicals you use with dry cleaning, does that affect the dye as well?
That's a loaded question, yes and no. usually when dyes bleed, it's not a cleaning problem, it's a manufacturing problem. That means they didn't fix the fabric to the right specifications before they turn into blouse, a dress, or pants, or whatever. It's like shrinkage. They usually, when the manufacturer makes something, they usually allow 1% shrinkage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not supposed to shrink if you clean it. Now, if you clean it the wrong way, yeah, it might shrink.
Yeah.
But if you clean it the way the label says to clean it, like dry cleaning or laundry,
mm-hmm.
and it shrinks a whole lot, the cleaner always gets blamed for that, but it's not a cleaner's fault. It's a manufacturer's fault.
Oh, see, I didn't know that either, because I've had sometimes issues where that comes in.
I'm educating you today now.
I'm enjoying it, yeah.
But, you know, you got to kind of, most of us go buy clothes.
Mm-hmm.
We don't look at the label. We look at the size, and I like that. It fits.
Yeah.
You know, we don't worry about how it's got to be clean until you say, oh, no, I got to do it this way.
Yeah, until you wear it, and then you look, and then you're like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
I can't do anything with this piece of clothing.
And if you were to go to the Dry Cleaning and Laundry Institute analytical lab and look at their little pie,
mm-hmm.
you know, when people turn in analysis, it's cleaners, manufacturer, consumer, and then the little 1% is unknown.
Uh-huh.
You know, but then when you look at the list of manufacturers who's had items sent for analysis, there's no manufacturer out there that's not on that list.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, you can buy something at good old Kmart and it can be the best quality in the world, and then again, you can buy the same thing at Jones in New York and be the most unquality piece of garment.
Yeah, I've noticed that too. It's not necessarily price that determines that quality.
Well, some people say, oh, I paid $400 for this suit. Well, okay, but that don't mean it's good. It just means it's expensive, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Price doesn't necessarily correlate with quality.
Right. And I'm on a soapbox with other cleaners because sometimes they don't take the time to take the courses and learn their trade
mm-hmm.
so that you can explain things to the customer when they come through the door. You know, my job is to clean the clothes first, but if they ask a question, I should be able to educate them with the answer.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I honestly didn't know there was that much involved, so it's awesome to learn about this right now.
Well, it's like when you know, like at home, you'll have a dark load, a light load, and maybe a red color load. Here, we break that down to about 6 more different loads because you're not going to put silks in with denim items.
Why?
Because the denim is heavy, silk is soft, and it'll scratch the...
Oh, that actually makes a lot of sense. I never thought about that.
So you always break it down to the heavy items, the lighter items, this color, that color. And we do a white, a medium white, then a dark white, and then we get to a medium color, and then a dark color.
And then, so do you have to have different machines for each one of these?
No, no machine. We just do one load at a time. You know,
okay.
And we make sure we separate.
Okay, so the heaviness of the fabric doesn't really affect the equipment you're using.
No, not at all. It's just, you know, most people are very basic, honest people. They say, okay, I knew this was something wrong with this.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then you get somebody that'll tell you there wasn't nothing wrong with the item when, in fact, you've already annotated on the invoice that it was. And they will try to take advantage of that.
Oh, really?
So you have to really do your homework when you do this business.
And so in that invoice that you give them, like right away you say like, you know, stain or hole or something like that?
Yeah, usually I ask them if there's any stains or anything I need to be aware of.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, this have this. And if I miss it, before I ever put it in a machine, I inspect it. And right away I get on the phone and say, hello, Olivia?
Uh-huh.
You know, you have 5 holes in this blouse. And most people, oh, yeah, I knew that. You know, I say, hey, you want to come look at it first, you know? Because we won't clean it until you've acknowledged that, hey, I knew this or I didn't know that.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead and clean it or don't go ahead and clean it, you know?
Awesome. Well, that's a really good way to run your business.
Yeah, it keeps you out of trouble.
definitely does.
You know, because if you don't do that, like I said, if you do this a long time, people understand they're not going to be able to take advantage of you. But if you're new at it, it's like, oh, shoot, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why I always tell my friends who are in the business, take the courses, read the magazines that they send you from International Fabric Care or Dry Clean Laundry Institute, because in there they have tabs about troubled garments, about how to clean this or how to clean that, you know?
It
helps a whole lot.
That's awesome.
So you're good at class today.
I am good at class today. So with like the new stuff that you guys are getting, do you know, you don't know what, like, the specific type of machinery that's going to be?
Well, the ones I like that I've been looking at for her has been the Fibromatic. And the reason for that is you can use 12 different solvents in that machine.
Oh.
The old machine is one solvent and that's it. What I'm saying is, a Fibromatic, for instance, okay, let's say I'm using hydrocarbon today, and EPA says, okay, you can't use that solvent no more.
Mm-hmm.
I say, okay, fill a new solvent, and what I need to do is drain my filters out, change my filters, get all that old stuff out of the machine, and then just put new cartridges in and put the new solvent in the machine and be ready to go. The old machines, you can't do that.
Wow, so this one, is it only 12 total? Like, if you switch it, you can only switch it 12 times, or you can use up to 12 different types of solvents?
Well, you can only use one solvent, period. But, like, if somebody comes in and says, okay, they're banning that solvent, you can't use it anymore, you can switch your machine to a different solvent and be perfectly safe. But the old machines, you can't switch them out.
So the machine you have now, if that solvent gets banned, you guys are... hose,
I'm dead in the water.
Wow. Yeah, you guys definitely need to upgrade.
Yeah. So, you know, but the thing is, a decent machine to run anywhere from about 65 to about 100,000, depends on what size machine you're buying.
And do you guys, like, normally just get it, like, straight from the vendor?
Well, down here we have distributors, and the ones we deal with will call and say, I want this machine. And they'll either tell you, yeah, well, they can get it, or no, they can't get it, and they'll recommend something different. But if you're dead set on that machine, then you get on the internet and find out who the distributors are for that machine.
Okay.
And then you can call them, so.
So do you guys have a distributor down there for the Fibromatic?
Yeah, we do.
And do they finance it for, do they help finance it for you?
No, they leave that up to me, or up
okay.
to us.
Okay, so you guys do third-party financing then?
Yeah.
Have you looked into many options yet?
We have not.
Okay.
And I'll be I can't speak for Young, but for me, my credit's in the toilet because I lost my house a couple of years ago. My business credit's fine, but the my personal credit's, I think my credit score is like 585 or 590 or something like that. So.
So you have a 585 credit score.
Yeah.
For 595. And
yeah, something in that neighborhood.
And so would the financing be under you?
Actually, we try to put it under the business.
Okay, you know, trying to put it under the business.
Yeah, but most of the companies want you to be a guarantor of the money, and then they get into your personal stuff, and that's where it runs into a problem.
Okay, well, we actually work with all sorts of different, like, credit.
Right.
So we have all different credit tiers, A to D, so...
Right, okay.
We really would have something
very... ethical and honest person, so I wouldn't even want to endeavor into something unless you guys knew what my situation was.
Oh yeah, no, I definitely understand that. But we really do.
I had a 780 credit score in 2014, and 585 in 2015 after I lost my house.
I mean, that's just like, I feel like that's happened to so many people though. I mean, you're not alone, you know.
Yeah. Bank of America. If there's any institution in this country that could fail, it'd be that one. I'd hope.
Oh my gosh, I agree. I used to bank with them, and I completely switched. I mean, never again.
I've had two bad situations with them in my lifetime, and the first time I told them I'd never ever bank with them again, and then when I refinanced my house, the mortgage company that I had sold it to Bank of America.
Oh, that is not good luck.
Not good luck. And,
not
and
good
dumb,
at all.
Dumb me, I didn't ask enough questions when it was switched over that I should have asked, because it was a new loan, so I didn't think I had enough equity built up in the loan to refinance somewhere else. And they increased my mortgage from $1,450 to $2,185 or something like that.
What?
And
just like that?
Just like that, and they told me it was because of escrow. They told me insurance and taxes gone up.
Wow, that is just not cool.
Not cool. And so when I put in my modification, this is what really bothered me, is when I put my modification in after about 6 months with them, they sent me the envelope that is supposed to go back in. I sent them the paperwork in their envelope, registered mail, and they claimed they never received it. So they sent me a new one, did the same thing over again, which they said never received it.
But you had it registered mail, so how can
registered
they say
mail.
They never received it?
They told me they didn't have anyone in that office with that name. So the third time I sent, I didn't receive nothing. So I called and I said, I want to talk to a supervisor.
Yeah.
And the person's name who signed the thing was the last name Blaine.
Uh-huh.
And so we don't have anybody. I said, well, this is your address, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, it came to that address and someone signed for it. I don't think the post office would misdeliver it three times in a row.
Yeah, exactly. That, like, one time maybe, but not three.
So I got in a real argument with them about their procedure. And I said, well, when am I going to hear back on this one?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll contact you as soon as we get it. I said, well, I'm going to fax you another copy. I faxed them another copy. And about 4 days later, I get a knock on my door or a summons to go to court for foreclosure.
What?
Yeah.
That is, like, so shady.
Yeah. And, you know, and part of it was my fault, because when I didn't have enough money to pay the mortgage, I paid a portion of it. I didn't pay all of it, but I paid a portion of it, thinking my business would get better and I could make some money to catch it up. And in 2008, 2009, 2010, it was really bad. And
For everyone, you know, just the entire country.
Yeah. So I'm on that little list of the anti-lawsuit for them, but what was really weird is what I found out after they took my house is the foreclosure department and the modification department were run by the same managers. And they make more money on foreclosure than they do on modification.
That, you know what? It's always like that. Like, you'll find, you'll like kind of dig deeper and then you see that, like, I don't know, it's like screwing the person, like, will help them longer in the will help them in the long run and help them make money, but it's just really not the right business model to have because it's not sustainable.
It's not, because, you know, eventually you'll get called out and nobody's going to do business with you.
Yeah, and eventually you're going to run out of people to mess with.
And on the anti-lawsuit list, there's 18,000 people on that list.
Good. I hope it keeps growing.
Yeah. Now, that and 50 Cent gave me a cup of coffee, but I'd like to see it fixed. I mean, it's too late for me, but fix it for the next guy.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, hopefully there's some kind of something that you can get in the long run. I mean, I doubt it'll be, obviously it won't be your house, but maybe there'll be something.
But you know, it was funny. They took the house in 14, and they didn't sell the house until October of last year.
Couldn't you have just squatted?
Well, it did occur to me, but the police didn't kick me out, so. But pretty much my neighbor said, you know, and this is a real nice neighborhood, and houses in that neighborhood generally, if they're for sale, within 2 months, they're done, you know. But my house didn't, and when my old neighbors asked me, was talking to me, don't know why it didn't sell, I said, well, I know why it didn't sell. And they want to know why. I said, because I prayed it would never sell. You know? Just got to screw the bank up a little bit.
I don't blame you.
And they finally sold it, and they sold it at a loss. You know?
Well, good. I'm glad they sold it at a loss.
Yeah, they did. It was a $386,000 house. My mortgage at the time was $253,000, and they sold it for $241,000.
But you know, it's so stupid, because if they had just let you stay and make those payments, eventually you would have caught up.
Yeah, exactly. And I was in that house for 24 years.
Wow.
So I didn't have long to go.
No,
anyway,
you didn't have long to go at all.
Enough about my problems.
No, it's actually, I'm very much enjoying talking to you right now.
Something to do at work, right?
Exactly.
Anyway.
Anyways, if, yeah, you know, I guess we could circle back around to the Fibromatic.
Right.
We work with all different kinds of credit tiers, like A to D. And okay. So the loans do go on your business credit. So your personal credit wouldn't be affected anymore.
Okay.
At all. And really, I mean, if you just want to check it out, you're really under no obligation. We just have a really simple one-page application.
Okay.
Always one-page application, 6 months of bank statements. I don't know if it would be you or Yong, depending on that. And then just the quarter invoice for the new machine. And so it's really simple, really quick. And okay. We can get you literally an answer in 24 hours, and then you guys okay. can at least start shopping around, see
right,
what
yeah.
is
you're
the
gonna,
best option.
You're going to send me an email, right?
Yeah, can I get your email address?
One I already gave you.
Oh, yeah. It's, let me see here. Let me just completely make sure it's correct. Okay. Where did I write this down?
GeraldStone2002?
Yes, GeraldStone2002@yahoo.com. Mm-hmm. I will
okay.
definitely email you that.
Email me, and I'll probably call you back.
Okay, yeah, call okay. me back. And when do you think I'll be hearing back from you?
Probably tomorrow.
Tomorrow? Perfect. Okay. Well, I'll send that to you in a few minutes here, okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
All right, thank you. It was a pleasure.
All right, you too now. All right,
bye-bye.